the Lord would be pleased to help us. We would seek to consider words together that were read in your hearing in Psalm 27. Psalm 27, and we may read just now at verse 8. Psalm 27 at verse 8. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. In this psalm, we have David relating some of his experiences when he was removed from the worship of God, when he was not able to assemble in God's house. And that is a great and solemn matter. When, for whatever reason, we may be hindered and detained from coming to the house of God. And when the Lord did that more than once in recent times, and it closed the doors of the house of God in Providence, how we need to lay to heart the preciousness of having access to the public means of grace, the preaching of the gospel, while we have it, and to make use of it. Now, David desires to be back in the place where God is worshipped and where God is making himself known. And whatever danger he is exposed to, however far removed he is from where he would desire to be, he has not lost his desire to meet with God in his worship. One thing he says in verse 4, he's saying this in the face of enemies, in the face of war and trouble. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He wants to seek the Lord in the Lord's house. And that is what you have in the words of our text. He's crying to the Lord, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. And he has that prayer also in verse 9. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. For thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. He's praying that he would get a blessing once more in the house of God, that he would get back to the favour and the presence and the blessing of the Lord. And that is what we have in verse 8 here. He's taking the word of the Lord and he's meditating upon it and he's using it as an encouragement to seek the Lord for himself. When thou saidst, when God said to David, seek ye my face. That's what God said to him. And that's what God is saying to you. He's saying, seek ye my face. How did David respond? What was the reply of his heart? My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. We need to seek the blessing of the Lord for ourselves. We need to seek it wholeheartedly. We need to seek it now. as we have it there in those words in the prophet Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We would desire to consider then these words. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. The first thing that we would seek to consider is the Lord's gracious command to David. The Lord's gracious command to David. Seek ye my face. That's what the Lord said to him. And that's what the Lord is saying to you and to me. Seek ye my face. In the second place, we will desire to consider David's reply to the Lord. How David replied. It was a very hearty response. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. The Lord commanded David, and here is the echo of it in David's heart. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. That's the second thing, David's reply to the Lord. These two things, as he labeled, the Lord's gracious command and David's reply. Well, we notice here in the first place, with regard to the Lord's gracious command to David, these wonderful words, my face, right in the middle of the verse, seek ye my face, the Lord's face. That's the very heart of the matter. The Lord's face. That's what he's to seek. That's what you are to seek. The Lord's face. How are we to understand that? What does that mean to you tonight? To seek the Lord's face. Well, if you have heard of someone, you may have read about a person, you may have a considerable amount of information about a person, but you don't know them. You've never seen their face. There may be far more to knowing a person than knowing their appearance. But surely you cannot say that you really know someone if you do not know what they look like, what their face is like. How much more then, when it comes to seeking the Lord, you've heard of him with the hearing of the ear, but has the eye of your soul seen him, friend? Do you know the Lord? Do you know the one that David knew and desired once again to seek? Now, in a sense, the Lord, with regard to his absolute divine nature, as filling every point of space at every moment of time, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him. When we speak of God having a face, we're speaking in a way that God has revealed himself to us to help us to understand. God, absolutely considered, does not have a face. The divine nature is beyond any personal, any, I should say, bodily understanding that we could have of him. But what's he meaning when he speaks of having a face? He's talking about coming to know him. It's talking about not being at a distance from him. It's talking about God bringing the sinner near to him in order to have communion with him. That's what it means. It's the place where God is known, where God's presence is. And when God speaks of his hand, he speaks of his power. And when he speaks of the place of his feet, he's speaking about the place where he dwells. When he speaks about his face, he's talking about the place where he is known, and where he reveals himself, and where he shines out and where he speaks. That's what it is when God speaks of having a face. Now, God has no parts or passions. With regard to his divine nature, we've just said that. But here is the most wonderful thing. That God has made himself known in such a way that the sinner, a sinner the like of yourself, it can draw near to him and not be destroyed. And how is that? It would be no surprise if God would issue forth a sentence from his throne to banish you forever from his presence. The face of God is set against those that do wickedly. What a wonder that he's saying from the throne. What a wonder that he's saying from heaven. Seek ye my face. And here is a marvelous thing, that he has made himself known in the person of his beloved Son. He's revealed himself in the Lord Jesus Christ, taking our nature and taking a true body and a reasonable soul. And that person who is the second person of the Godhead has a face, and he has hands, and he has feet, and he has a heart full of love to perishing sinners. As Rabbi Duncan said, there's a brother's heart beating upon the throne of heaven. That's a wonderful thing. God, who commanded the light to shine in the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. He's revealing himself in Christ. Christ has our nature, and he has the nature of God, and he reconciles in his work, in his finished work, in his obedience, in his death, in his sufferings, in his bearing sin, in his bearing the wrath and curse of God due to sin, in making atonement for sin and satisfying the divine justice of God against sin. Christ is revealing the face of God, that there is mercy in God for sinners. Is that not a wonderful revelation? Is that not the glory of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ? That a sinner can draw near to God with all the burden of a lifetime of sinning, with deep, dyed sins that would sink you down to a lost eternity. And God is not driving you away tonight. God is saying to you, seek ye my face. Because of Christ. That's how David could draw near to him. That's how Abraham could draw near. That's how Moses could draw near. That's how the Old Testament saints could draw near. Long before the Savior came into the world, it was because Christ would come, and Christ would fulfill all righteousness, and Christ would magnify the law and make it honorable, and Christ would appease the divine wrath. Christ would be a propitiation for sin. Christ would bring in everlasting righteousness. He would set forth a free salvation to the chief of sinners. Therefore, David, banished though he was in his providence, hindered from access to God and from the worship of God. His desire was to draw near to God because there was a way of access to God's presence opened up in the covenant, in the everlasting covenant that would be sealed in the blood of Christ in the fullness of the times. That's how God, it has a face that is in the direction of the sinner. That is pointed in your direction, we may put it like that tonight, because of the gospel. Now, what does it mean to seek the Lord's face? When thou saidst, seek ye my face. It's the Lord showing David and showing you that there is a way of coming into his presence. It's all showing us that God is willing to receive sinners and have communion with the sinner restored. Everything that we have done by nature is putting ourselves at a distance from the Lord, putting us away from God's presence, putting ourselves out of the way of obtaining God's mercy. And God, in his wonderful kindness, in his grace, is showing and exhorting the sinner to draw near to him, to have communion with him restored. Oh, what will happen to you, my dear friend, if after all the sermons, all the opportunities, and every word that you read from the Bible over the course of your life, you would not be found at last to draw near to God, but that you spent your days departing from him, however near you came outwardly. What a dreadful state that must be, when God will say to the soul, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, prepared for souls, spiritual fire. God would be just to say that to you and to me tonight, but he's not. He's saying, seek ye my face, seek ye my mercy, seek ye my salvation, seek ye my beloved Son. Seek the eternal welfare of your never-dying soul. Choose life. That's what he's saying to you. It's the Lord who's saying it. Now, what were we singing there? The two psalms we had. In Psalm 24, you can see it there. It's there in verse 6. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. And when we read Selah in the Psalms, it seems to point to something that is very significant that needs to be pondered. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. In Psalm 63, were we not singing? Lord, thee, my God, I'll early seek. My soul doth thirst for thee. A seeking spirit. to meet the Lord in his worship, to meet the Lord in his word, to have fellowship with the Lord restored in your soul. That's what the Lord is inviting the sinner to tonight. That is what the Lord was inviting David to. That's what the Lord is inviting you to. Now, when we read there in Psalm 24 concerning Jacob, who do seek the Lord with their whole heart's desire, what is that telling us in the first instance? He's telling us that this is the activity of God's people. David was a believer. David had grace, though he was banished from the worship of God for a season. He was in the covenant. He was on the right foundation for eternity. But yet he felt the displeasure of the Lord. He felt removed from the Lord. No doubt he was seeking into the matter. Why it was so? If it be so, why am I thus? He was no doubt poring over his own sins and over his own heart to inquire why it was that the Lord had a controversy with him. But his desire as a believer was to seek the Lord's face, to seek him continually. And that is what is here before us. This is the activity of God's people. However far removed they may feel from the favour and the blessing of the Lord, and how cold they may feel in their hearts, how guilty, how polluted, how altogether undeserving of having communion, how altogether deserving of being driven away from his presence because of their backslidings and their provocations. Yet nevertheless, this is a marvel to the believer. This is a marvel to the sinner saved by grace, that the Lord would say to you continually, "Seek ye my face." That's the language of the Lord to the backslider. That's the language of the Lord to those who are full of unbelief and fears and doubts. "Seek ye my face." But we may also apply these words to other classes of hearer. The Lord is saying it to you as a sinner in the visible church under the hearing of the word. Your duty is to seek the Lord while he may be found. The Lord is giving you a gracious command. All the authority of heaven is in these words. "Seek ye my face." The Lord has established the visible church as a meeting place between himself and sinners. He's established the preaching of the gospel as a place where sinners will come to hear about Christ and to receive and rest upon Christ alone for salvation. And you are there, you are here tonight, in the place where he delights to make himself known. And your duty and your privilege, friend, is to seek him and to call upon him while he may be found. And we may apply these words to another class of hearers, more particularly to awakened sinners, to those who have a real concern and anxiety about their soul salvation. Some will have that anxiety more than others. Some will have more light and knowledge than others. Some will have more pungent experiences in their conscience of what it is to be a sinner in the hands of a holy God. But are there awakened sinners here tonight who are conscious to some degree of their absolute need of divine mercy, of their absolute need of Christ to save them from their sins? Well, surely if that is true of you, friend, you must have come to the house of God in some measure with a desire to seek him, that you might find him for yourself. And what a wonder that he is saying to you, "Seek ye my face." Is this not a very gracious command? He's saying, look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God and there is none else. I am the God of salvation. To me you must look. You must trust in my salvation. You must trust in my beloved Son. You're to look away from yourself. If you have conviction of sin in your conscience, if you have a realization of the awfulness of what it is to go down to the pit on account of your sin against the Lord, He has not put you away. He has not cast you away in His anger. Do you feel yourself to be a sinner of His long-suffering? Is it a wonder to you that you have not been put away in His wrath forever? Many's a long day ago. Perhaps you had convictions of a very strong and urgent nature, and you stifled them, and you were careless and negligent, and you quenched the Spirit, and you went back to a large degree as the sow returns to her wallowing in the mire, and the dog returns to his vomit. You went back to the things of sin, and you hardened your heart from His fear, and your heart is now harder than it ever was, perhaps. And there's a little pricking in your conscience, and you feel that would be very swiftly extinguished if you were left to yourself for a moment. And do you fear, dear friend, what it will be for you if you are left without finding the Lord? Well, may it be a very wonderful command from heaven in the estimation of your never-dying soul tonight, that the language of the Lord to you is still, seek ye my face. The Lord is plying you in His word, and particularly in the preaching of it, with wonderful encouragements. However far gone, however hardened, however vile, however guilty, however cold, however dark and ignorant, however worldly, however carnal, however unworthy you may be tonight, and you're all that, and I'm all that by nature, the gospel comes in so many wonderful ways to meet the needs of the sinner. It comes, as we've said, with all the authority of heaven's command. Seek ye my face, and who are you to stand out against that authority, friend? And it comes in the form of gracious invitations. Ah, seek ye my face is an invitation from the throne of heaven. There's not one of us, if we received an invitation from Buckingham Palace, we would not feel somehow honoured, and we wouldn't delay to lay hold of the invitation and prepare ourselves to meet the monarch. But here is an invitation from the throne of thrones, from the King of kings and Lord of lords. And He's saying to you, and to you I call, O ye sons of men, and to you in particular. The gospel is addressed to you in particular, friend, as an invitation. Be ye reconciled unto God. The gospel comes as an offer, because you lack the blessing that you need. You do not have communion with Him. You do not have His mercy. You do not have Christ. And He's showing you that He is willing to give you what you need for eternity. For him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool if you come to Christ. Oh, is there no one who will take this invitation and this offer of cleansing and pardon and salvation from sin? Is there no precious soul in this congregation tonight who are not crying out for Christ to save me from myself, to save me from my sin, to save me from hell, to save me from fearful unbelief and hardness of heart? Seek ye my face, the Lord is saying. You'll never hear that in a lost eternity, sinner. But you're hearing it tonight on the ground of mercy. When are you to seek him? When are you to seek the Lord? You're to seek him now. And you're to seek him continually. That's what we have in these words in Psalm 105. So we have it there. His blessed and his gracious face. Seek ye continually. The Lord Almighty and his strength, with steadfast hearts seek ye. His blessed and his gracious face seek ye continually. You're to seek him while you have a Bible. You're to seek him while you have a tongue to call upon him. You're to seek him on his day appointed, a market day for the soul. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, bankrupt, ruined sinner that you are, he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. They say that the reference there would be to a boat sailing into a country, a merchant vessel, full of the best goods, and coming alongside to the quay. And they would be calling out in the town, come to the waters, come to the side of the waters. If where this wonderful vessel has come in from afar with all the finest goods. Aye, and it's all without money and without price. It's all free to the sinner who will have it. You don't need to pay anything for the salvation of your soul, friend. Not a penny can you pay. It won't be accepted in the currency of heaven. But Christ paid it all in the precious blood that was shed on the accursed tree. Oh, will you not look to that provision? Will you not look to that glorious Saviour? The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And you're to look to him in affliction and in danger. Whether that be the great spiritual danger of the devil destroying you and bringing you down to a lost eternity, and the justice of God pursuing you to the lake of fire, that's the greatest danger of all. Or whether it's affliction and danger and trial and providence as you have here. He had bereavement, or he was viewing the prospect of that in verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He had wicked men and enemies and foes to destroy him, to eat up his flesh. He had hosts encamping against him. In spite of all these dangers, the Lord was still saying to David, and he's saying to you, in view of all the trials and difficulties and dangers of this life, in view of death, judgment, and eternity, seek ye my face. Is there any sinner in this congregation who will really seek the Lord tonight? Well, let us come in the second place to consider David's response to the Lord's command. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Here's David's reply then. And let us notice, before we say anything else, that he had a firm foundation upon which he could make the appropriate reply. And that was the firm foundation of the Lord's own word. Look at the verse. The Lord said to David, seek ye my face. And David responds, he echoes what the Lord has said in his heart. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. He's taking what God has said in his word, and he's using it as an argument for the duty that God is commanding him to perform. He's not saying that he has the strength to seek the Lord's face and to find the Lord and to obtain the blessing in himself. But he's saying, thou hast said it. Thou hast given me this invitation. Thou hast given me this command. Thou hast given me this gracious offer of mercy, of a restoration of communion in my soul with God. And therefore, on the foundation of that sure word, on the warrant of God's own word, I will draw near to him. We couldn't draw near to God, friend. There'd be no approach to him. There'd be no way of access. We'd be left in ignorance. And it would be the height of presumption if for a sinner the like of yourself to attempt to draw near to God in your own strength and in your own way and in your own wisdom. But the Lord has not left us in any darkness about the matter. He's given us his own word. He's given us his own warrant, his own invitation, and it's full and it's free to you. The Lord is saying, seek ye my face. David says, thy face seek will I. He's turned the Lord's word into an argument wherewith the Lord is to be plied and to be entreated, and to be reasoned with. The Lord is saying, come and let us reason together. Take with you words. Take with you words and say, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. That's what Job said in the midst of his sorrow and darkness. I would fill my mouth with arguments. I would come to his seat. Well, you take the argument of the freeness of the gospel offer and the invitations and commands. It's no presumption, friend, for a poor sinner to draw near to heaven's throne on the warrant of God's own word. One of the old divines was saying, if we're drawing near to God on the basis of our own supposed goodness, then God will turn away from us. But no one was ever turned away on account of their badness. There's an encouragement for the chief of sinners. However bad you are, that is no disqualification to come to receive the blessing of salvation. The worse you are, the more welcome you are to come if you're coming on the foundation of the command and offer of the everlasting gospel. What does the Saviour himself say to you tonight? What he said to a mixed multitude when he preached there in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. There's an application of those words to the people of God, clearly. To come in, to have restoration of fellowship, to have more of the knowledge of God, to have more of the knowledge of God's ways, to have more communion with him, to be more conformed to his image. There's a gracious invitation there, but there's also, as we've already said, an application of seeking it to the sinner under the gospel, to come as you are. Seek in order that you would find. And the Lord has joined these things together, the seeking and the finding, in the means of grace. Now, notice here that David sought wholeheartedly. Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee. My heart said unto thee. His heart is echoing with what the Lord has said in his word. His heart is meditating and musing upon it. My heart said unto thee. We have in Deuteronomy chapter 4 these words which illustrate the point. Verse 29, Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Thou shalt find him, if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. To be wholehearted and single-minded and determined to seek the Lord until you find him. That's what is required of you, friend. That's what David had when he said, one thing I of the Lord will desire and will seek to obtain. One thing, whatever else you're concerned about, whatever else you're legitimately burdened about and taken up with, this should override everything. Seek ye my face. How can you be wholehearted about it? How can you really begin to seek the Lord? You have to be made willing. You have to be made willing. You see, there's an outward seeking. But we mustn't confuse that with finding. Just because someone is seeking to an extent in the means of grace, that doesn't mean that you have found him. And you mustn't rest on your seeking, friend. There's two dangers here that we must avoid. On the one hand, there's the danger of thinking that because the Lord's people are always seeking the blessing and the communion and the face and the favor of God, that if I begin to think about these things and begin in some way to pray and read the Bible and listen attentively and stop sinning in an outward sense, that God will somehow see that I deserve to be saved. That's legality. That's the broken law and the covenant of works. You must be delivered from that delusion, friend. It's not your seeking that will find you. But yet without the seeking, you will never find him. You must be wholehearted in seeking, but you must realize that it is not your seeking that saves you. But Samuel Rutherford said, we've used the illustration before, but it's very appropriate to this point. If you're in a sailing boat at sea and you need to come to the harbor and you know that you'll be lost and perish at sea, unless the wind will blow, Your duty is to put up the sail, to trim the sails, to make sure the sails are in the direction that you will find in the breeze, so that when the breeze comes, it will take you into the harbour. But as Rutherford so well puts it, there's no connection between putting up the sail and the wind coming. By putting up the sail, you don't make the wind come. The wind comes sovereignly and freely in providence. But without putting up the sail, you won't catch the breeze and you won't be brought on your way into the harbour. And so it is. The Lord connects seeking with finding, but it's not the seeking that saves you. And there's another danger. We've already mentioned it. Assuming that because we're seeking, that we already have grace. You mustn't assume that, friend. The Lord's people do many things that are your duty to do, and you should do them. You must read the Word. We're speaking about memorizing the Word today, according to your capacity, to seek to know more of the Word of God and to hide it in the heart. You can do that in a natural sense with your memory. The Lord's people are doing it in a spiritual sense, feeding on Christ in the Word. The mental process may be exactly the same, but the spiritual reality of it are completely different. The Lord's people come to the house of God. The Lord's people hold family worship. The Lord's people endeavor to keep the Sabbath day. They read the Word of God. You are to do all these things as well. It doesn't mean you've found the Lord in it. What are you to do? Are you to cease to read? Are you to cease to come to the means because you haven't found him yet? No. You're to look beyond the watchman. You're to look beyond the means. And you're to seek to find grace in the means from Christ himself, the source of all grace. Union and communion with Christ. Nothing short of that. Anything short of that, and you'll perish forever at the gate of mercy. But press into the kingdom. Seek him until you find him. Now we notice that he was surrounded by enemies. And that would not hinder him in his duty of seeking the restoration of God's blessing to his soul. And whatever enemies you have tonight, your own heart, its deceitfulness and its desperate wickedness, the sins that you have committed, the sins that you are able to commit, the devil who's telling you that your sins are too great, who's telling you that you've left it too late, who's telling you that your heart is too hard, who's telling you that there's no mercy in God for such a wretch as you are, who's telling you, young person, to leave it, it's not important, there's more important things, it's an easy matter to be saved at the end of the day, why worry about these things today? Whatever it is, these are great enemies to your soul. The world is an enemy. The ways and the company and the fashions and the thinking of this evil world, the entertainments, the profits, the praise of this world, all these things are great enemies to your soul. David was surrounded by enemies who would kill him. And these things will kill your soul. They'll kill conviction. They'll bring you to a lost eternity if you don't get over them. But my dear friend, will you seek the Lord notwithstanding every enemy? That's what he's determined to do. That's what he's praying the Lord. You take up this prayer. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Are you determined to persevere and to seek the Lord until you find him? And one more thing we will say. David believed that the Lord would bestow the blessing upon him. As you see here in the final two verses of the psalm, precious, precious words. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Unbelief would faint that the Lord would ever restore me to his countenance, to his blessing, to his favor. Unbelief will be fainting on account of the greatness of your sins. But faith in Jesus Christ lays hold of mercy, notwithstanding the greatness of your sin. I had fainted, yes, if left to myself, but I believed to see it. Now listen to this, dear friends. Unless I had believed to see, the language of the carnal mind, the language of unbelief is, let us see, and then we will believe. That's what they said to Christ on the cross. Let Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross, and then we will believe. And that's what unbelief is saying tonight. Show me a token that God, it will be kind to me. Show me some indication that I'm among the elect. Show me this, show me that, and then I'll believe. Then I'll repent. Give me some physical evidence that there is a God. Show me that the Bible is the word of God. That's unbelief, friend. Faith is saying, is it believes to see? I believe. I will trust that the Lord will forgive me my sins for Jesus' sake. I've never seen him with the eye of the body, but oh, to see him by faith in the eye of the soul, according to his own gracious word. Wait on the Lord. Wait on him, child of grace. Though you feel you haven't had his favor and his countenance for many a long day, wait on the Lord. Wait on him in the path of duty. Wait him in the face of enemies, in the face of felt weakness. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Remember what the Saviour said to Peter. When Peter had toiled all night and had caught nothing, he said, nevertheless, at thy word we will let down the net. Whatever it is you need, whatever blessing, whatever deliverance, whatever forgiveness, will you not let down the net tonight, friend, into the sea and ocean of the mercy of God and his word, and that he would fill it with such a catch that it could not, your soul could not contain it. Seek and ye shall find. Seek ye my face. May the Lord bless his word to us.